I'm starting a series today called What Is Next? Are We in the End Times? Let me just say this, that this teaching that I'm going to be giving has been reserved for Bible College. I have not taught this publicly from the podium on a Sunday for over 20 years. But I am a student of these subjects, and I have studied the end times for over 43 years. Most of you haven't been alive for 43 years. You're just wearing makeup. That's just wearing makeup, I can tell. But I believe that I'm unctioned by the Holy Spirit to share with you what I have learned in this time. I want you to know that I'm 66 years old and 7 months. I couldn't do it last month, because I would have been 66 and 6, and they probably wouldn't have been a good time to do it. Enjoy the laugh. It's the last one you're going to have. We are living in troubled times. Horrific events have been witnessed by all of us in the last few years, months, and even last week. So I'm going to take the next few weeks, and I'm going to give you a biblical explanation for these events. And I promise you, I'm not going to be melodramatic or sensational. I honestly don't appreciate when I turn on the TV and I see a preacher on the TV, and I do a lot of the watching, who is trying to be sensational to get attention or to scare people or get money out of them. So if I'm a little more placid than my normal self, you'll understand why. I really want to reveal to you the biblical predictions and hidden prophecies. I'm going to reveal them to you. I'm going to show you from the Bible exactly what the Bible says concerning the end times. Because this is a question on the minds of many people. Seeing what we're seeing around us, are we in the end times? That's a huge topic. Honestly, I cover this topic in about 10 hours of Bible College and still don't get through it. And I don't have the 10 hours, the luxury to spend with you. So I will not be able to cover every single scripture reference in the Bible concerning this topic. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and choose those that are particularly important and reference us. Is that okay with you? So, I mean, this doesn't mean I'm not going to give you, you know, stuff about the Great Tribulation, because some of you will be in it. So you probably need to know. I told you that's going to be the last laugh that you had. I told you. And you see, I'm not laughing. This is not my laughing face. I've been a pastor for so many years. I've been in ministry, you know, 40 years. And I can tell you now that not everybody who sits in the chair listens to what I say. We've had incidences in our previous church in South Africa. And I'll tell you this just by, you know, I'm deviating now. But a man married one of the ladies in our church. He had lost both of his arms in an industrial accident. And he was a boxer. But he had not given his life to the Lord because he was mad at God. He blamed God for the loss of his arms. When they got back from honeymoon, one of my pastors, his name was John, went to visit with this couple and pleaded with this man to please receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And this man told him to get out of the house and that he would never receive Jesus and that he hated Jesus and it was God that did this to him. The next morning, that man was found dead on the very spot where my pastor had knelt before him. I could give you many, many, many stories like that. But I don't want to be sensational. I don't want to be melodramatic. I want to give you the facts the way I understand it. Now, I do know that there are some people here today that have probably never heard any teaching on this subject at all. And so a lot of what I'm going to say is going to be new to you. And because of that reason, I'm going to try and build line upon line so I don't leave anybody behind. But then there's others who are familiar with this topic and have studied it themselves and heard other people teach the topic. To those, I ask you, please be patient as we go down this road together. Be patient. Because there's going to be things that I will be sharing with you that's going to shock you. Now, I'd like to turn to the board that's behind me. We've prayed for the people. Maybe we should pray for the technical things. All right. All right. So what we'll do is let's put the screen up while they do that. Put it up on the screen. I don't know if you can see it. It's really tight. Now, here's the good news that we will put this up on our website. Cindy, where will it go? Tim, where will it go? On the homepage? So you can go and view it, all right, because there's a lot of information on there. And what I want to do is I actually want to start by giving you kind of a broad perspective, a bird's eye view of what the end times look like so that you may get a little familiar with some of these events that are going to happen. All right, we'll start on the left-hand side. You can see the cross. That's obviously the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Now, to the left-hand side of the screen is 4,000 years. So the left-hand side of that cross, prior to the cross, is a period of 4,000 years. The whole period of the rest of the time that we're going to be aware of, you'll see the 2,000 years. That's called the church age. It's the salvation of the Gentiles. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. All right, even if you're Islamic or Arab, it doesn't matter. You're a Gentile. Okay? So just to let you know. So the Holy Spirit descends 50 days after the cross on the day of Pentecost. And that is recorded in Acts 2, verse 1 to 21. We'll look at some of those scriptures. And then we have what we call the church age. It's a 2,000-year period. During this church age, the law of Moses is fulfilled, and we're now operating by grace. And during this time, it's also referred to as David's tabernacle in the Bible. It's David's tabernacle. And one of the important things about David's tabernacle, which was an old tent, was praise and worship without sacrifices. There were no sacrifices being offered for a period of 40 years. And that was right in the middle of the Mosaic law dispensation. And what happened is that David put up his whole tent and he brought the Ark of the Covenant in and he got praise and worship going, and they would rotate every 8 hours, different bands, for 40 years. That was a long church service. Now, the Bible tells us that in the last days, God would rebuild and restore David's tabernacle so that the rest of the world and the Gentiles may come and seek the Lord. We're in that period right now. Hence the praise and worship that we have in church right now. It is a replica of David's tabernacle. Just throwing that out there. So you'll forgive me if I just deviate a little bit from what's up there. So 2,000 years, at the end of the 2,000 years, we see the first resurrection of the dead, and it's the rapture of the Christians, or the rapture of Christ's bride. So how do I know it's a 2,000-year period, and how do I know it's 4,000 years and then 2,000 years? The book of Hosea says in chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2 that the Jews are torn to pieces for a period of 2 days. And how many of you know that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years? Okay, for 2 days, 2,000 years. And on the third day, they are restored, and it says that God will appear, he will appear, and he will come to them. That is the end. That is the end. It's only 7 years from the end of the church age to the 1,000-year reign of Christ. That 1,000-year reign of Christ is when God comes back and the Jews see him and the Jews begin to worship him as God. So for 2,000 years or 2 days, the Jews are torn apart and then they are restored. But they have to go through the tribulation period where God is waiting for them to repent for rejecting Jesus. And then, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you, happens. And Jesus returns for them. And they'll see him who they have pierced. And they'll call him Lord. That whole period is only 7 years. So we get 4,000 years, 2,000 years, and then a slither of time, also known as Daniel's 70th week, which is that 7 year period right there. It's also known as Daniel's 70th week. And it's a time where God is dealing with Israel. So during the first 2,000 years here, God is not dealing with the Jewish people. He's dealing with Gentiles, okay, non-Jews. It's called the church age, the mystery age. And when the church leaves, God begins to deal again with Israel. Those 7 years is God dealing with Israel, right? God's timetable for dealing with the Gentiles are over. The scriptures tells us that Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. So we know it's going to be an end of the time of the Gentiles, and God is going to turn his attention to the Jews. And this that we're living in is a time of great celebration and salvation, and the Holy Spirit is here with us and moving miraculously amongst everybody on the earth. Then, the church is raptured. Let me say the bride is raptured. And specifically, I will get to that later in my teaching. Because right in here, in the 7 year period, in heaven, there is a marriage feast of the Lamb. That is when Jesus marries his bride. But here on earth, there are still believers. We know that, and we'll have a look at this later, that when one of the seals are pulled back in heaven, under the altar, under the throne, are many thousands, maybe millions of people, maybe billions of people, a number so great can't be numbered. And when the angel asks John, who are they? He says, I don't know. You tell me. And the angel says, they are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. So there will be millions of people saved in the great tribulation, just in case you didn't know that. And the Bible says that they had white robes upon them because they had cleansed themselves in the blood of the Lord. They had palms in their hand, and it says that they will serve in the temple day and night. A bride does not serve in the temple. A bride is an intimate place. So they are not part of the bride. Just saying. The first seal, and I don't even know if we'll get to discuss the seals and the trumpets and the bowls that will occur that will be thrown out. But the very first seal that is released after the rapture of the bride, the very first seal that is released there in the Bible is the Antichrist who comes on a white horse. He has a bow, but he has no arrow. So he is, it's deception. He looks like Jesus on a white horse, but Jesus always uses a sword, not a bow. And he has no arrows, so it's deception. And he will bring a pseudo-peace to the world, and he'll bring prosperity. The Bible says so, the book of Daniel tells us. So the first portion of the tribulation will be a period of prosperity and a period of peace, but it'll be pseudo-peace. Now, during this time, the first 3.5 years, 42 months, it is actually not the great tribulation. It is a tribulation, but it's not the great tribulation. During that period of time is when world control takes place. The population of the world comes under the control of the Antichrist through a worldwide system that he has. And they will have to receive a mark of the beast during that period of time. The Bible says in order to trade, in order to buy and sell, you need to have that. We will show you, probably the third week in, I will show you what's happening in technology today. Again, no sensationalism. I will actually show you how far we have got to world control and world domination. Many of you have on your smartphone a little app that can track your spouse or your children. How many do? Wave your hand at me if you do. It's a GPS system. How many of you have GPS in your car? How many of you know you have GPS in your phone? So how many of you think that you can get away with something and nobody can find you? Okay? Cameras are everywhere. Streets, security cameras are everywhere. Okay? So it's not going to be a leap of faith for us to see how the controlling system will work. And again, I'll store that up for a couple of weeks ahead. If you want to go read on it, you can read up Revelation 13 from 16 to verse 18. During that time over there, Christians will be persecuted. Christians will be persecuted. Those who did not go in the rapture will fall on their face and beg God for a second chance. And I can tell you now, I'm just summarizing, they will get a second chance, but it will cost them their life. You'll have to die as a martyr during that period because he's not coming to get you and you're not protected. The Bible clearly says you're not protected. Only in the latter part over here are there certain people that are protected. The 144,000 Jews are protected. They have a seal and the Antichrist can't hurt them or harm them. Okay? The rest, in fact, the Bible says that power was given to the Antichrist to make war and to overcome. So any Christian living in this time will die as a martyr. And it's already started, as you'll see in the video we're going to show you in a minute. They'll have to receive the mark 666, and we'll get to that. That period is a 42-month period, and then the Antichrist comes to power right over here. He is in the world, but he's not controlling the world. In fact, I believe the Antichrist is alive right now. He has to be in order for us to be real close to this to occur. Who is the Antichrist? I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate. The latter portion is referred to as the Great Tribulation, and this is where God judges the Antichrist system and all of those who have received the mark of the beast. He pours out, six or seven seals are opened, and also six or seven bowls are poured out on the earth, which include all the sea going to blood and all the animals dying, all the fish dying. You imagine the smell. One third of the population is wiped out when a meteorite hits the earth. It's in the Bible. Okay, you don't have to worry about if it's going to happen. It is. It's going to happen. The rivers turn to blood. Locusts are released. Everything you can imagine. If you look back at what Moses did when he took the children of Israel out of captivity, the same thing is going to happen in this time, and that's why I believe Moses and Elijah are going to be the two prophets, the two witnesses during this time, because it'll be the same plagues that hit Israel, plus far worse. Hit Egypt. There'll be darkness, there'll be drought, because Elijah's a big one on drought. He likes that. You might remember Elijah's the one who killed the people with these fire, came down fire from heaven and wiped out those on two occasions, like for nothing, for no reason. Remember that? Well, because that's going to happen in this period of time back over here. Fire's going to come from them and kill the people. So Elijah's used to doing that. It's not going to be new to them. It's not like, okay, you're a green bean. I'm going to have to teach you how to do this. You know, I've done this before, people. All right. Stand out of my way and nobody will get hurt. So during this time here, as the Antichrist rules the whole earth and he enforces the worship of himself. And anybody who will not worship him, their heads are cut off. All right? They're killed. Now, at the end of this period over here, we have the second coming of Christ, not to be confused with the rapture, which we call the second advent. This one is called the second coming. Over here, Jesus doesn't touch the earth. Over here, he does. There's a lot of differences. that we'll show you. The first time he comes, he's going to come as a thief. The second time he's coming to lord and to rule. Okay, so just to throw those out there for you. God is judging the earth. There's scriptures, Revelation 6 and chapter 9 as well, Matthew 24, all the way from verse 24 to 31. Both of those periods are 42 months. Right in the middle of that is where the Antichrist comes to power. When he arrives here, Jesus will land on the Mount of Olives, Zechariah 14, verses 1 through 14. The Battle of Armageddon occurs over here as well. And then the 1,000-year reign of Christ occurs over here. Satan is bound during this 1,000 years. And when this occurs, the Antichrist with his prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. Okay? Just to let you know, this is a forever thing. At the end of this whole thing, when, you know, there's a new heaven and a new earth, and this, I'm way off track, I'm way back here because none of it applies to us, Satan is finally thrown into the lake of fire, and the Bible says where the Antichrist and his prophet is, they're still alive. So this is a forever fire, okay? Doesn't burn out. All right, so that's just by way of introduction. Let's get into today's lesson. So I must have said something funny. Okay. Let's begin by reading Acts 2, verse 17, which is the scripture right there in the first where the Holy Spirit is poured out. And it begins, in the last days, God says, I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke, and the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day. Notice it says the moon will be turned to blood, not the blood moons. Now, you won't, you know, if I say some things that upset you, that's okay. Sometimes the truth hurts. Okay? Just please, let's just stay with the scriptures and not what somebody has sensationally, you know, like, oh, yeah, September 23rd, all the stars and constellations. Whoa. I have a word that says no man knows the day or the hour. But Jesus told us the season. Not the day or the hour. Somebody tells you September 23rd, just go, that's all. That's how you respond theologically to that. Don't have to go to Bible school. Just one quick lesson. Don't be afraid. Not going to happen. Day of Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, approximately 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Peter quoted the prophet Joel when he made this. These are not Peter's words. This is the prophet Joel's words. And he was trying to explain the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the speaking with other tongues that had just occurred. So here's the thing. This is not referring to the rapture. When he said clearly here, the sun will be turned to darkness, moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. That is not the rapture. That is this period over here. This is the great and return of the Lord over here. This is when that's going to happen. But he says here, in the last days. So according to the Holy Spirit then, the last days started 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. Got it? So are we in the last days? Emphatically, yes. The question really isn't, are we in the last days? But when will these days or this age end so that we can move into the next age? Because this age ends right here. With the rapture. That will be the end of the age. It won't be the end of the world, but it will be the end of an age. Do you understand the difference? So when you read in the Bible and Jesus says, but the end is not yet. Understand, he's saying there's more to come. This is not the end. Hello? All right. So the real question is, well, when does this end? Now, Paul writes to his beloved son, Pastor Timothy, and he says to Timothy, listen, I want to show you spiritually and prophetically what it's going to look like in the last days. He said, describes the heart condition of the human race right before the rapture is to occur. Let's read it. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, when? Talk to me. So the Bible said this is going to be in the last days. Okay? Not being sensational. In the last days. Factually. In the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous times will come. Because God is angry? No. Because the devil knows there's only a short time and he's going to go mad? No. But because of men's hearts. Now let's read. It says, for men will be. It didn't say for Satan will do or God will do. It said for men will be. So now who's being spoken about? Men. Men will be lovers of themselves. I want to do a selfie of myself right now. I want to get a big crowd going here. Just everybody. Got to be in the photograph myself. Selfie is a sign of loving. And you didn't even think about it. You didn't even think about it. You see how clever this thing works? It just moves right into your life and you don't even know it's happening. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Blasphemers. You know when you say, oh, Muhammad, you're not blaspheming. You have to use God's name or Jesus' name or Christ to be a blasphemer. Have you ever watched a Hollywood movie? Whose name do they use? Always, always. Blaspheming. Disobedient to parents. I don't think there's ever been an age. Ever. That we have as we have today. Where the children rule. Disobedient to parents. You can't tell the child what to do. Child does what it wants to do. Last week, just throwing this out there for you. Last week, Australia voted on what has already happened in Canada and what will take place in America. When the homosexual, call it gay rights, but they're not happy, marriage laws, gender laws changed, all the gender laws changed, not the gender laws changed. If a child now in Australia and in Canada at the age of 8 decides that they want to change their gender, the parents have to support the change, or the authorities will take the child away under the rule of child abuse. This is the law. You go look it up. I'm not being sensational. It's already the law in Canada. It's already the law in Canada. They voted in Australia just last week on it. Okay? So I'm not making this up. What would happen if your child decided to be Batman? Now what? And the next day, Princess Leia. How many of you know that children do change from day to day? They play games like that. No child at the age of 8 should have any idea about gender, period. Shouldn't have been entering their mind at all. Unthankful. This is a time of unthankfulness. We put it this way, entitlement. Entitlement. Or being the right to have something. It's the same as being unthankful. I have a right to have it. I'm entitled to have it. This generation, the millennials, excuse me, unless you're here and you've been delivered, it's a problem. It's a problem. All right? All right, you agree with me. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving. This is the time in the last days, unforgiving. Now, this problem even falls amongst Christians. Never mind the world. This is a problem in the church where people don't forgive. Slanderers. Slanderers. You just got to go on social media any day of the week. Any day of the week. We have people leave our church, and by the end of the week, we're all over social media being slandered. Yeah. People open web pages to talk about us. Have you got something better to do? I mean, I'm shocked at what people say about each other on the social media. And they just let it go. And so you don't know who's speaking. They come up with a name that you don't know who. They hide behind a funny name. Slandering. Even President Trump is subject to being slandered. I don't want to make this political. The Bible says they'll be without self-control. Without self-control. Sexual abuse. Without self-control. What's happening right now in Hollywood? Huh? Do I have to say any more? Without self-control. Brutal. Brutal. Islamic people are cutting people's heads off. Last week in Las Vegas, 500 people were injured, 50 or so killed. Brutal. Despisers of good. Listen, people, I don't want to make this political, but anybody who walks down the street shouting, kill cops, kill them now, is promoting murder and brutality. Then there's the word traitor. Traitor, somebody help me. What is a traitor? What is a traitor? Hates your country. A traitor is a defector who despises the national anthem and the flag. I don't want to go down that road. I just leave you to think about it. Is that okay? Well, it's going to happen in the last days. Headstrong, haughty, loves of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Churches are empty, but the amusement parks are full. When the NFL play, full. MLB, full. NHL, full. AHL, full. NBA, full. People stay home to watch. They go out by their 50,000s to watch and worship the players. Concerts are full because they're lovers of pleasure, not lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Having a form of godliness. Now, my Bible tells me that the gospel is the power of God. So having a form of godliness but denying its power, which means you're religious but you don't preach the gospel. I'm also told by Jesus, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So having a form of godliness but denying its power would also be denying the Holy Spirit. In the last days. And what does the Bible say? From such people turn away. It's in the book. From such people turn away. How many of you agree with me right now that this is 100% accurate and it's just prior to the rapture? Are you with me? All right. So, what we're going to do now is we're going to watch a short video of some of the things that are happening in the world. Lights all the way down, please. Thank you so much. All the way down. Completely off. Thank you.
December 26, 2004, a violent earthquake off the coast of Indonesia triggers massive tsunamis, killing over 230,000 people and causing many more to go missing. The earthquake registered as a 9.3 on the Richter scale, making it the third largest quake ever recorded. Lasting more than 8 minutes, it is also the longest earthquake ever recorded. In fact, it was so powerful it shook the entire planet, with aftershocks being felt as far away as Alaska. With the epicenter of the quake being roughly 100 miles off the Indonesian coast, it also sparked a series of massive tsunamis. One of these was a reported 80 feet high when it hit land, while other reports indicated another 100-foot tidal wave. Many of the people living on the islands and coastlines were taken by surprise, since there was no tsunami warning system in place to alert people of the danger.
あれ、やばいよ。これも大丈夫っすよ。いや、ここもやばいよ。 やばい。 やばい。
Unverified videos emerged on Sunday which appear to show IS gunmen executing about 30 Ethiopian Christians in Libya. The videos purportedly made by the organization were first posted on social media sites. The militants in the video refer to Christians as crusaders as they proceed to behead around 15 men. IS militia control large swathes of Iraq and Syria and are spreading out to Libya, taking advantage of the lawlessness found in such conflict zones. Another section reveals a similar number of men being marched along in the desert to their deaths before being shot in the head. The video ends with a warning that Christians either embrace Islam or pay protection money to be safe.
Anybody needs anything, I help them the best I can. I want everybody to be safe and be able to get out of the neighborhood and stuff, you know.
That you have the biggest quake in Mexican modern history since they've had seismographs over 100 years. That happened last week at 8.1, now a 7.1 right in the middle of Mexico City going up towards California.
Se cayeron edificios.
La pared se rompió. Que se salgan.
One person, 7-year-old child of Pastor Brian and Mary. He stood alone at the Heritage Academy. It's a charter school in Escondido. And he prayed. And he prayed in tongues. Where is the church? Are they at prayer meetings? When we call you to pray, the P3, we ask you to come and pray before the service. Where are you, church? When our 7-year-olds are standing alone at the polls. Now, a typical reaction when we show these natural disasters, people say, well, yeah, we've had hurricanes and earthquakes, just natural disasters. It's true. And that's why you must not confuse them with the judgment of God that's coming in the Great Tribulation. See, these that we've watched are isolated in different nations. But when the judgment of God comes, it will hit the whole planet. There will be no place to hide. When 1/3 of the population is wiped out in a day, and all the green grass and all the trees are burnt up in one day because fire fell from heaven. And when hail and blood fall from heaven and the seas turn to blood and all the rivers turn to blood and there's no water to drink, you won't be sitting watching TV and just like, whoa, this guy's having a rough day, aren't they? Yeah. Mm-mm. No, no. You say, well, there's always been earthquakes. That's true. But what you don't know is that the quantity and the severity of earthquakes have been climbing and increasing dramatically. I just want to show you the deaths by earthquake that occurred from the year 2003 over a decade to the year 2010. Can you show them? Have a look at that. The total deaths in that decade of 82,000 people. All right? 82,000 people. Now watch. Sorry. Misread. The total deaths in the previous decade from 92 to 2002 was 82,000. Total deaths in the previous decade. In the decade from 2003 to 2010, have a look. There's at least 4 years where 1 year was greater than a whole decade combined. 04, 298,000. 05, 87,000. 08, 88,000. And 2010, 226,000. Do you see how they are all greater than the entire decade? Which means earthquakes were stronger. And there are more earthquakes that have been recorded this year than since the recording system started. And you just heard about the strongest earthquake that caused that big tsunami that actually moved the whole planet. And you just heard about the earthquake and what happened in Mexico. These are getting bigger and more devastating. Now, before I dive into this teaching, I'm still trying to get to my introduction. It's going to be a long day. I promise to let you out by 4 o'clock. Before I show you what the Bible predicts is coming, what I want us to establish is, can the Bible be trusted to accurately predict the future events? That's what we need to know. Because if it can't be trusted, then we don't have anything to worry about. So what we're going to do is I'm going to examine the Bible's accuracy, and I'm going to do it in about 10 minutes. What we're going to do is we're just going to pick Jesus as the Messiah, and we're going to pick a few prophecies from the Old Testament about what he'd be like and what would happen in his lifetime. So I'm going to go very quickly. The first one was that he'll come from the house of David. And 2 Samuel 7:12. Now, just Samuel prophesied this 900 BC, 900 years before Jesus. And he said about the Messiah, "When your days are over, David, when your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. And he is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever, and I will be his father, and he will be my son." It's talking about Jesus. Then Isaiah prophesies in 740 BC. Book of Isaiah, all prophesied in 740. I'm not going to repeat that date, but it's just give you an idea of how many centuries prior to Jesus coming. And you know this verse, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given." You know that? All right. Have you realized what it actually said there? That a child is born, but the son is given? God gave his son, but humanity was a born child. Two things. "The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this." He will be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel." What does the word Emmanuel mean? God with us. Prophesied back in Isaiah 7. "He will be rejected." Isaiah 53:3. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not." His ministry was revealed back by Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. "The Spirit of God will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. He said, I only do what I hear my Father telling me, and I only, whatever I see him, that's what I do. Right? Prophesied back here. Then he would enter Jerusalem riding a donkey, a colt. Zechariah prophesied this in 520 BC. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation. Gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He would be portrayed by a friend. Psalms was written 1,000 years BC. Psalm 41, even my close friend whom I trusted, who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. He would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah 11:12. Then I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, if not, refrain. So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. You say, well, that's for his wages. Hold tight. Listen, next prophecy. 30 pieces of silver would be used to buy the potter's field. We continue reading verse 13 of Zechariah 11. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that princely price set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and I threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. Now I'm going to go and read this from the New Testament because some of you may not know that this says this. In Matthew 27:3, when Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. And he said, I have sinned, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied, that's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple. That's exactly what Zechariah 11:13 said. He threw it into the house of God. And then he left. Then he went away and hung himself. The chief priests picked up the coins and said, it is against the law to put this into the treasury, since it is blood money. So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field. Prophesied by Zechariah 11:13. As the burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the field of blood to this day. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. And we're not going to look it up because here it is. They took the 30 silver coins, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used it to buy the potter's field as the Lord commanded. He would be silent when accused. Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. That was prophesied by him, and that's exactly what happened. It was prophesied that they would spit on him and they would pluck his beard from his face. Isaiah 50 in verse 9, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Mark 14 and verse 65 said, they spit on him, they blindfolded him, and they struck him, and they struck him with the palm of their hands in their face, and they said, prophesy, who did this? He would be hated without a cause. Psalm 69 and verse 4, they hated me without a cause. Those who hated me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. He would be crucified with sinners. Isaiah 53:12, because he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for transgressors. Number 13, his hands and his feet would be pierced. His bones would not be broken, and they would cast lots for his clothes, and the people would mock him. Psalm 22, verse 16, they have pierced my hands and my feet, not just my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones, which means they're not broken. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. John 19 and verse 21, the soldiers actually cast lots for his garments after dividing it, but his outer robe, they wouldn't tear it up, so they cast lots for it. Exactly fulfillment of what happened. Jesus' bones were not broken on the cross. None of them broke. Psalm 22 verse 6 says, I am a worm, I am no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me when I'm on the cross. They ridicule me. They shoot out their lip. They shake their heads saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Those are the exact words that were said about him while he was on the cross. Exact words. Then it was prophesied that they would give him gall and vinegar to drink. Psalm 69 and verse 21. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. And number 15, the resurrection from the dead was prophesied in Psalm 16 and verse 10. Because you would not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. His ascension into heaven was prophesied in Psalm 68, 18. You have ascended on high and you've led captivity captive. Number 17, Jesus predicted his own suffering, death, and resurrection on the third day. In Matthew 20, verse 17, Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. He took the 12 disciples aside and he said to them, we're going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man, talking about himself, will be betrayed to the chief priests, talking about Judas, would betray him. And the teachers of the law, they will condemn him to death, and they will turn him over to the Gentiles, the Romans, to be mocked and to be flogged and to be crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised to life. Jesus prophesied exactly what was going to happen to him. Now, I want to give you not my own work, but the work of a great mathematician. I'm going to show you the mathematical probability of one man fulfilling these prophecies. I've shown you about 40. If you just look in between the lines, I got to number 17, but there were many prophecies within prophecies. There's actually about 61 major messianic prophecies. But there are 324 prophecies that actually refer to Jesus coming that he fulfilled. 324. Now it's possible that somebody may fulfill one or maybe two. But I'm not going to bother today with the extrapolation of the mathematical probability of all 324 being fulfilled, because the number is too big for us to comprehend. But what I will do is I'm going to read to you from Professor Stoner, whose work was reviewed by Harold Hartzler of the American Scientific Affiliation, Goshen College. And this is what he said, this is what they said about him, that the executive council of this college found his work, that's Professor Stoner's work, to be in general dependable and accurate. And the mathematical analysis presented is based on sound principles of probability. Peter Stoner's work, and you can read it in Science Speaks, shows that coincidence is ruled out by the science of probability. Now, all he did was he took 8 of these prophecies, of the 324, of the 61 major ones, he took 8. And some of them I didn't even deal with today. I have them up for you. Here we go. He was born in Bethlehem. He was to be preceded by a messenger. He'd enter Jerusalem on a donkey. He'd be betrayed by a friend. He'd be sold for 30 pieces of silver. And the 30 pieces of silver then would be thrown into the potter's house, into God's house to buy the potter's field. And he would be silent before his accusers, and he would be executed as a thief. Now, Stoner concluded the probability of fulfilling these 8 is 1 to the power of 17. 1 to the power of 17. That's 17 zeros if you don't know how to do mathematics. To the power of. The power of 17 means 17 zeros. I wouldn't even like to try what that number is. But let me try and illustrate what this number looks like. Give you an illustration. If you took a silver coin, silver dollar, and you covered all of Texas, the whole state, 2 feet deep in silver coins, and you marked 1 silver coin and you dropped it in there, and then you shook Texas up so this thing got mixed, and you blindfolded a man and you said you can travel as far as you like, north, south, east, and west, it doesn't matter, and then stop, put your hand in and pull 1 coin out, and when you pull that coin out, it has to have the mark, and with your eyes blindfolded, you have to say this is the coin. That's what 1 in the power of 10 to the 17 is. And that's 8 prophecies being fulfilled by one man, prophesied by various prophets, as you see. But Professor Stoner decided that he would do one better than that. He would try and calculate what it would look like for 48 prophecies. So he said, well, his mathematical probability is 1 in 10 to the power of 157. Power 157. That's for 48 prophecies. And he said, you know what? Let's try and illustrate this so you can try and imagine what we're talking about. Now, he said, we can't use silver coins because they're too big. So what we're going to do is we're going to take one of the smallest particles known to man, an electron. How many of you know what an atom is? How many know that the middle of the atom is a? The nucleus. And going around the nucleus is electrons. Okay? You know you can't see them, right? Not with the natural eye. Okay? He says, so what we'll do to try and illustrate this, he said, if we took 1 inch of electrons, 1 inch, and we lay them down in one straight line side by side, that would be 2.5 to the power of 10 to the power of 15. 2.5 times 10 to the power of 15. 1 inch, 1 inch line of electrons. Now, if we're going to count the electrons in this 1 inch line, they're lying side by side, and we count them at a rate of 250 electrons per minute, day and night, nonstop, it'll take you 19 million years to count the 1 inch. Are you there? You're going home. That's lying side by side. But he said, you know what? Why don't we make it get more realistic? Let's make a cube of electrons. 1 inch, 1 inch, 1 inch, a cube. And now we're going to count the amount of electrons in a cube. 19 million years times 19 million years times 19 million years. Anybody got a number? To count the electrons in one cube. We're trying to get the mathematical probability of one man fulfilling 48 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. What he said, what we have to do to give you the accurate measurement is actually we have to take all the electrons in the known mass of the entire universe. Maybe you didn't get that. All the electrons in the entire mass of all the universe, not just Earth or its moon or suns or the planets around us, not our solar system, not our galaxy, but the entire universe. If you're going to hit 1 in 48 for one man. You got it? Now hold on to your seats. There are twice as many prophecies about Jesus' second coming as they are about his first. If you think that somewhere along the line they hit something, can we trust what's coming if that's the probability that it was fulfilled exactly as prophesied? So what Jesus said about the future, we might want to listen to. See, Jesus prophesied that he would return. Jesus, the man that fulfilled the 300 and odd prophecies. He said, I'm coming back to collect you. If he just said that enough, that would be alone. Just if Jesus said that, it would be fine with me. I don't have to read anything else. That's fine with me. I got it. How about you? And he said he was going to prepare a place and that he would come and get his disciples and those who believed on him to take them there. Look at this verse, John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. Believe also in God. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now that, you want to give the Lord a good praise offering right there? Take a breath. Thank you, Jesus. clearly is talking about the rapture. It is not talking about this return. Why do I know that? Because when Jesus comes here, he's coming to stay here. He said, I'm coming to get you to take you to where I am. And he said, so don't let your heart be troubled about what's coming on the earth. It's talking about the rapture of the bride. So what is the rapture? When's it going to happen? What did Jesus say would happen as we approach the time of the rapture? I'm out of time. I'm sorry, folks. I will deal with that next week.